Welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this 19th day of October, 2024. This year is going by quickly. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, those that are here in the room, and those that will be listening to the recording. And glad to have each one of you in fellowship today. Praise God for his merciful kindness, his tender love and watchful care, and for hearing and answering our prayers. What a compassionate Father we have, dear ones. And before we get into our study book, who would like to offer opening prayer? Please go right ahead.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for the Sabbath day. We can get away from everything that besets us during the week and rest, guarded by your love and refreshed by your spirit. Be with our speaker. Give him words from on high, and may we have ears to hear your loving message from heaven. Thank you, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, precious sister. And we are continuing in our study book. This is Christ Object Lessons. We're in chapter 25 that's titled Talents. We're in the subsection that's titled Other Talents. And we left off last time about two-thirds of the way down on page 331 to the paragraph that starts out, Many Whom God Has Qualified. And the last thing that we were discussing before we ended last Sabbath is that God doesn't want anyone to say that they cannot become better in character. But the devil comes in and says, well, you know, you can't become better. The way you are now is how you're ever going to be. So you have two opposing sides here. God says you can do better through my grace and strength. The devil says you can't do better because you can never change. And of course that's wrong because you can always grow worse in evil and wickedness, right? So if you can grow worse, then you can also grow better. So if you decide that you cannot change your character for the better, then you will not be saved. God gives us truth. In following that truth, you become more righteous. You become a better Christian, closer to Christ. In other words, you're growing closer to him. And in order to grow, you have to leave the previous state or the previous level that you were. So if you decide you cannot grow better, then truth has no effect on your heart, which means there's no way you can be saved. So what we have to understand is that our defects in character can be remedied, of course, only through God's grace and strength. But we have to make the choice to want to be better. When we make that choice that we no longer want to give in to lying, or we no longer want to give in to stealing or an improper diet, right? There's 8 laws of health. There's 10 commandments. So when we make that decision, we want to do better. we realize we can't do it on our own. We need help. That draws you, drives you, leads you directly to Jesus for help. And by being connected with him, and he gives you his divine power, now you can follow the truth. You can keep the commandments. You can follow the 8 laws of health. And thus, you're growing in grace. But it all begins with your decision. If you decide you cannot, then you will not. If you decide that you can, then you go to Christ and you're enabled to overcome. So if you have no desire to do better, it's because your heart is unsanctified. You're unwilling to submit to the control of the Holy Spirit. So it all comes down to a choice. Are you willing? Christ says, all things are possible, right? If you're unwilling, then you will fail of everlasting life. God has the grace waiting for you to accept it. But he's not going to force it on you. It's a choice. So that's where we left off last time. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. Again, about two-thirds of the way down on page 331. Many whom God has qualified to do excellent work accomplish very little because they attempt little. Thousands pass through life as if they had no definite object for which to live, no standard to reach. Such will obtain a reward proportionate to their works. So God tells us, Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So that's a command as well as a promise. We can be perfect just like the Father in heaven is perfect. That's a really high standard to shoot for, you know. That's a very definite goal to reach. And it's possible. All things are possible through Christ. So if it's your lofty goal to become like God in character, that's a very high standard. And in reaching that standard through Christ and his grace, your reward will be tremendous. Eternal life. Part of the royal family of God, a younger brother to Christ, a child of God. That's a very high standard, isn't it? But if you're content with a lower standard and you happen to reach it and you happen to be saved, then your reward is going to be much lower than it could have been otherwise. So remember, God has qualified each and every heir of salvation, you and me. He has qualified us to do excellent work. He gives us the grace, the divine power to accomplish that excellent work. So don't be content with a little when God gives you everything you need to accomplish great things in righteousness. So have a definite object for which to live. Give glory to God. Become like him in character. strive to be like Jesus. That will lead you directly to the Savior every moment of the day to overcome as he overcame. And how did Christ overcome? I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalms 40, verse 8. It was Christ's desire to become like the Father in every area. And he obtained that. He wasn't born with that character. He chose to form that character by the decisions that he made not to do his will, but the will of God. So it's possible for you and me to also become like God in character. Any questions, any thoughts, insights, comments, dear ones? Please go right ahead. Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Remember that you will never reach a higher standard than you yourself set. Then set your mark high, and step by step, even though it may be by painful effort, by self-denial and sacrifice, ascend the whole length of the ladder of progress. Let nothing hinder you. Fate has not woven its meshes against any human being so firmly that he need remain helpless and in uncertainty. Opposing circumstances should create a firm determination to overcome them. The breaking down of one barrier will give greater ability and courage to go forward. Press with determination in the right direction, and circumstances will be your helpers, not your hindrances.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. So you're never going to reach a standard that you have not yourself set. So if you set no standard, you don't rise to anything. If you set a mediocre standard, then you'll rise to that mediocre level and no higher. And that's part of human nature, right? We want to accomplish a task in the fewest amount of steps and the least amount of expended energy. So in other words, we want to achieve it in the most economical way possible. So if we set a low standard, then we're not going to exert any more effort than it takes to reach that low standard. So God sets for each one of us a super high standard, right? Be ye therefore perfect as God is perfect. That's a stupendously high standard. And what God requires of us, he provides us the grace and the divine power to accomplish. But you have to agree with this high standard that God set for you. It's a choice. Now, I've heard some say that they know that they're not able to live through the time of trouble, Jacob's time of trouble, without giving in to the pressures. So they're going to take a less steep path and be willing to die before Christ comes so that they can have heaven. So they believe that there's a high standard for those who make it through without seeing death to the coming of Christ versus those who see death before Christ come and are resurrected in the first resurrection. They think there's two kinds of standards. One super high for the 144,000 and another one less steep for those who die in the Lord. Are there two standards, dear ones, two levels for individuals to reach? Amen.
No.
The answer is no. It's the same standard. So if you die in the Lord, you still have the same high standard that you shoot for. And that same high standard is the very same high standard that the 144,000 shoot for. The difference between the two, the same standard, the difference between is that the 144,000 reach that high standard. They accomplish their goal to be like God in character while they still live. Those who die in the Lord haven't reached that standard. It didn't mean that they didn't try. It meant that they got so high and then because of sickness or because of genetic factors or because of death, right? They weren't able to live long enough to reach it. So they die in the Lord at some portion of that exalted goal. And they still are saved. The 144,000 are able to reach the top of that goal while they still live. That's the only difference. It's the very same standard for both. So that's our goal, to strive with every ounce of ability that God has given us to be among the 144,000. And if we should die in the Lord before that time, we're still going to be saved because our goal was set high. And every step of the way, every growth level is in accordance with God's will. Any thoughts or comments, dear ones, before we move on?
I had thought that that is really the way that it was, is that there is like this uber high standard that, you know, you have to try to reach there. So I hadn't quite seen it like that, that, everyone is really, they have to make that same mark, but that we all may not be around to actually reach it. So, thank you for that.
Well, praise the Lord. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
When I was young, before I was married and had children, I had determined that when I did have children, I wanted them to be happy. That was my goal, that my children should be happy. And then when I did have children, the way to make my children achieve happiness to the greatest degree was to make sure they had a good education, but most of all that they knew God, because God is the source of life, love, and happiness. And so I set out to make sure that my children received these building blocks, and praise the Lord, that happened.
crazy.
I was what?
Go ahead.
I was wondering, the standard here that we're talking about is to have the character of Christ. Is it? Okay, thanks.
Amen. And the character of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. And Jesus had God's law written in his heart and mind. He chose to live by, and it is written, thus saith the Lord. And he was able to develop a perfect, righteous character just like his Father. So it's the same with us, dear ones. If we allow God's law to be written in our heart and mind, if we choose not to do our own will, but to follow the Lamb whithersoever he leads us, not we lead him, but he leads us. If we choose to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, instead of our own voice saying, we want to go over here and do this, then we will, day by day, become more like God in character. Remember, we have to behold him in order to be converted into him in character. So by beholding him, we become changed into his image. And so you can see God has given us everything that we need. We have the law that points out sin. We have his word that helps us understand different circumstances and avoid different loopholes and bumps in the road and different barriers, etc. We have that straight, clear, narrow, upward path that leads to eternal life brought out to us in the Old and New Testament. And besides that, God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to reprove us when we're about to do wrong or after we've done wrong, to reprove us, to correct us, to reveal to us the judgment and how soon the coming of Christ is, and to convert us. The Spirit also brings to us the truth, brings to our memory what we've read, brings to us the grace of God that enables us to follow, thus saith the Lord. So God gives us everything that we need in order to become like him in character. So it all comes down to choice. When the devil comes in like a flood, God promises to send the Spirit that will lift up a standard against him. So draw nigh to God when the devil comes in like a flood. And God will draw nigh to you, and then the devil has to flee. So we have to remember to do that in every time of temptation. And through Christ, we have the privilege of coming directly to the throne of God in every time of need, right? All we have to do is grab hold of these promises and put them into action. And we'll be able to overcome and become perfect like God is perfect. Well, let me bring something else out here. Each and every human being on this earth has committed sin. That includes the wicked and the righteous. Every one of us has committed sin. Those that have accepted Christ are walking in a new path compared to those who haven't accepted Christ. Those who have accepted Christ, Christians, are not at the same level on this upward path. They're at all different stages of walking that path. Some are far advanced, some are down below, some just started, some are in the middle. We're all walking at different paths on the same path. So our goal is to become like God in character. We're to behold him so we can become more like him. So let's say someone is up here, higher on the path, and they see someone down here commit a sin. What are they going to do? Are they going to help that individual? Or are they going to try to downgrade that individual? Remember, our focus is on God. So if we happen to see someone commit a sin, we're to help them look up to God so that they can overcome it. Yeah, amen. We're to help them, right? But so often, because we're up here and they're down here, we kind of gloat in the fact that we don't have that kind of sin problem. And then we kind of lord it over them. How could you be so stupid to commit that sin? Didn't you recognize it's sin? And we forget that we're also a sinner in need of help. In order to lord it over, we've had to take our eyes off of God and focus them on ourselves. So if we're focused on self, how can we really help this person down here that has committed a sin get better? Self cannot help someone who has sinned because self is a sinner. The only way we can help them is by continuing to look up to God and to follow his example in helping someone who needs help. It's the only way. To hide self so that we may help lift up a brother or sister closer to God. It's the only way. So what we need to remember is all Christians are on this same one pathway that leads to eternal life, which means we're all equal with one another, doesn't it? We're all walking the same path, so we're all equal. So it doesn't matter how far advanced on that path some are compared to others, because it's the same path. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one door that leads you onto that upward path that ends in eternal life. That door is Christ Jesus. It's not the church. It's not a pastor. It's not an elder. It's not a deacon. It's not a president. It's not the church board. It's not anything other than Christ Jesus. So every individual on that straight, narrow, upward path has accepted Christ as their Savior. So that means everyone on the path has accepted Christ as their Savior. So we're all equal with one another in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are on that pathway. You're equal with those on that pathway, whether they're above you on the path or below you on the path. And we're to help one another, just as we have been helped. But the only way to really do that is to hide self in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're going to be like the Pharisees that just waited for Mary Magdalene to be caught in the act of adultery, and then they came and threw her at the feet of Jesus. They really didn't care about her sin. They let the man she was committing adultery with go scot-free. We don't want to be like them. You remember what Christ did? He that is without sin among you cast the first stone. Do we want to be individuals that bring back the stoning system because one of our brothers or sisters fell into sin? The stoning system has been done away with. But so many of our brothers and sisters pick up those stones and start casting them at someone who's fallen into sin. The stones of sarcasm, character assassination. We're all on the same path. We all have weaknesses and defects in character that we're overcoming. Some are having a harder time than others. But we're all equal with each other in Christ Jesus. So we have one goal, to become like God in character. The only way to reach that goal is to keep your eyes fixed on God. To be instant in prayer. When you recognize that temptation, Lord, help me overcome, and then determine to resist the devil. God will then make that devil flee from you. And being united with Christ, you'll be able to overcome with Christ. Remember, you're yoked together with the Savior when you accepted him. That yoke connects you, binds you with the Savior as an individual. Not as a group, as an individual. You and Christ alone. And he's pulling to follow the upward path. Will you follow his lead and pull with him? Or will you stand still and go nowhere? Or will you draw back and go nowhere even faster? You know, if you picture two yoke of oxen, right? One is pulling forward and the other stands still. Well, that yoke is going to go around in circles, right? If one pulls forward and one pulls back, you go around in circles even faster. You have to follow Christ's lead, pull with him, and then advancement in the right direction will occur. So press in harmony with Christ in the right direction. And when the devil comes in like a flood to try and hinder you, meet these circumstances in the grace and strength of Christ and look upon these circumstances as stepping stones to gain a higher advantage. Any thoughts or comments, dear one?
I was just thinking that was a scripture song, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Can you sing that for us?
Yeah, that's a great scripture song. Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall. I went blank there. Sorry about that.
Spirit of the Lord shall rise up against him. When the spirit, when the enemy comes in, my voice is giving out.
Thank you. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, Isaiah 59:19. And what's that standard the Spirit lifts up?
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, that's all right. What's that standard that the Spirit lifts up? Become like God in character. 10 commandments, the 8 laws of health, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Be ambitious for the Master's glory. To cultivate every grace of character, in every phase of your character building, you are to please God. This you may do, for Enoch pleased him, though living in a degenerate age. And there are Enochs in this, our day. I looked for that this morning, believe it or not. And I cannot find an original. So if you know where the original one is, other than Christ Object Lessons, did Ellen White write Christ Object Lessons? Was that the original? I would expect it to be in a Signs of the Times or a Review and Herald, but anyway, there are Enochs in our day. That's the phrase I was looking for.
Well, praise the Lord, you found at least one. Yeah, in Christ Object Lessons, a lot of it was compiled from other letters and manuscripts she'd already written, but she also, when these letters and manuscripts were combined in the subject matter, she would also connect them with other inspired words to fill it in, to make it more rounded and complete. So maybe these were words that God inspired her to put into this particular chapter in the book. But it shows that Enoch was able to walk with God perfectly. Not just one day, not just one year, 300 plus years. He was able to live a perfect life day by day for 300 years. So it's possible. A lot of people look to Christ and they say, you know, he was so much higher advanced than I can ever be. I'll never be able to be perfect in character. I'll never be able to reach that high standard. It's too hard for me to overcome sin. But here we have an example of someone who was not Christ, able to live perfectly year after year after year after year, every day. So it is possible, dear ones. Enoch was translated to heaven without seeing death because he perfected God's character while he still lived. So Enoch is a symbol of the 144,000. Now Moses almost lived a perfect life for more than 40 years. But he committed that one sin. And that one sin was not part of his character. it was a weakness that he gave into. And he was forgiven, but he wasn't able to reach that highest level of perfection. He still had some work to do. And he saw death, but was resurrected a short time later. You look in Jude. So Moses then would be a symbol of those who die in the Lord before Christ comes. So those that will be resurrected in the first resurrection. So here. Go ahead, Brother Dick.
Believe it or not, I found in Ellen White's writings where it says that Moses' body never saw corruption. So he was raised within 2 days or something like that, 3 days like Jesus was. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, amen. Thank you for that, brother, because I knew it couldn't be more than a week, right? But, you know, to have God's love for him to be so great that he would resurrect him within days of his seeing death is amazing. Can you please send me that statement in email? That would be great. If you remember where it is. There's so many things that I have read that have been lodged into my mind that has formed my particular outlook. And then when I bring it forth, people ask me, where'd you read that? And I can't remember every reference to things that I have read, but I know it's there, right? It's just finding.
Yeah, I found it. I found it.
Thank you, brother.
I saw that Moses passed through death, but Michael came down and gave him life before he saw corruption. That's, where is this? That's number. How can I tell? Oh, here, this is the way to do it. Everybody gets a copy of this. Wait a minute. There we go. That's One Spiritual Gifts, 43, paragraph 1.
Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. And why it never went on to Spirit of Prophecy or the Conflict series, we don't know.
So thank you, brother. So Enoch is a symbol of the 144,000. They reach perfection while they still live. Moses is a symbol of those who may die in the Lord before Christ comes. They didn't quite reach that highest standard of perfection while they still lived, and yet they will be saved. Because they overcame, they asked forgiveness of all of their sins and character defects and were hid in Jesus when death became their state. And that's the only two positions we can be in. But Moses was striving for perfection. Enoch was striving for perfection, even though they had two different outcomes. Enoch didn't see death and Moses did, but they're still saved. So it's the same with us, dear ones. Strive for perfection, to be part of the 144,000 who do not see death. And if you should die before you reach that state, you die in the Lord. And your salvation is assured. So both groups obtain salvation. So then whether we live, 144,000, or we die in the Lord, we can rejoice that we are of God, that Christ is our Lord, and through him we will be raised if we saw death. So whether we live or whether we die, we can rejoice that we're the Lord's. So don't worry about it. Strive for perfection like God. And whatever will bring more glory to God, whether you live until the coming of Christ or you see death and are raised at the coming of Christ, leave it to God. You had that one goal. Become like the master in character. And if you die before that goal is achieved, then praise God that you're his. He'll never leave you or forsake you because you're his and he is yours. Any other thoughts or comments, Derwent?
Well, that kind of cleared up something. If you die in the Lord, it's not the same as dying at the end of the world when you're in the lake of fire. So the 144,000 can be made up like with Moses and Enoch or any of the other righteous people that die in the Lord. Am I on the right track?
Not quite. The 144,000 do not die. They die spiritually to self, but they do not die physically and rest in the grave. Whereas Moses did die and rested in the grave for a short period of time. So he cannot be part of the 144,000. When you look in Revelation, it also talks about the 144,000 going through the plagues. They don't feel the plagues, right? But they go through that period of time, the time of Jacob's trouble. So that means Enoch can't be part of the 144,000, even though he was translated without seeing death. Ellen White can't be part of the 144,000 because she saw death and is resting in the grave. So the 144,000 do not see, and Ellen White adds, or taste of death. They remain alive to the coming of the Lord. So the difference between the 144,000 and those who are resurrected from the grave, from Adam all the way down, at Christ's second coming, the difference between them is the 144,000 became like God in character while they still lived, whereas those that died in the Lord had not yet reached that point. So the 144,000 are like Christ, who was perfect while he still lived. But they don't die. They remain alive. The wicked want to kill them, but God won't allow the wicked to kill the 144,000. So the 144,000 fill a position that no other group has been able to fill since October 22, 1844. That's why they are allowed to enter into the temple of God that's outside the city on the new earth or in heaven. No other group can enter into that temple but the 144,000. They are like Christ in character. Not just one like Christ, 144,000 like Christ. They are his bride. All the rest of the righteous that were resurrected are guests at the marriage feast. But the 144,000 are the bride at the marriage feast. But dear ones, whether we're part of the bride, the Lamb's wife, or whether we're guests at the wedding, we can praise God that through Jesus, we're saved. Yeah, amen. It's still a hallelujah, right? So, you know, David said, I'm content to be a doorkeeper as long as I'm there within your temple, God, you know, because within the temple, I'm able to see more of your glory. I'm able to become more like you in character. So whether we're a doorkeeper or, you know, whether we have some other responsibility, it's like you say, brother, a hallelujah. God is wonderful.
I have a question in regards to that. And I have read somewhere in the spirit of prophecy that throughout eternity, we continue to go up into the full stature of Christ. Does that mean that somehow, some way, I don't know, we all become the bride at one time somewhere in eternity? Because if we're all going to grow up to a stature in character, I don't know how does that, I don't know. I guess I'm just kind of wondering how that works.
Yeah, understand. One way to understand this is that love is infinite. It will always increase. There's no ending. It's infinite. So since God is love, the more you love, the more closer you are to God. You're growing up more into God. And so you're never going to reach the end in growing up into the full stature of men and women in Christ Jesus because his character is infinite. So throughout eternity, you're always going to be growing more. But when we talk about the difference between the 144,000 being the bride and those who die in the Lord being guests at the wedding, is the 144,000 were able to develop and maintain a perfect character in the very last scenes of this wicked earth's history. They were able to maintain their sealed perfect status through the six plagues, through being hunted, through being maybe captured and put into jail, through all the severe temptations the devil is throwing at them, both from without and from within, to try and get them to sin after they've been sealed, you know, to destroy that whole plan of redemption. And they've resisted all his efforts. They remain steadfast in holding on to Christ and refuse to let him go. No other people have ever had that experience to the extent, the intensity, as the 144,000 will. So they occupy an exalted position throughout eternity that no other group will ever have, because they will never have their experience. It's their own. So everyone will grow up towards the full measure, the full stature in Christ Jesus, but they're never going to be exactly like Christ, because his character is infinite. So there's always room for growth, right? And that's amazing about love. You think that an individual, you can love someone so fully that you can't possibly love them anymore. And yet, it's possible to love them more. When you find some area that they have benefited you in that you didn't recognize before, your love for them increases. Your appreciation of them grows. And that's what's going to be a delight, is to travel to other inhabited worlds and ask them what they recognized about Christ and his sacrifice, or what they recognized about the Father, because they have a perspective we could never have until we ask them. And how many other inhabitants are there in other worlds that have not fallen? Let's say there's a million, right? So you're going to have to visit every one of those million and gain their testimony about what they saw taking place. And I don't know a single individual that only has one testimony or only saw one thing that struck them, right? There's many things. So if there's a million inhabitants in other worlds, there's at least a million different testimonies. And since there's so many different areas in this great controversy that they were able to witness, then there's so many other testimonies of each individual than just one. So it's going to be a delight to travel to other worlds and be able to sit down with individuals there and talk with them, ask them questions. And they're, of course, going to have questions for us. They didn't experience what we experienced. They couldn't read our mind. They couldn't understand what was taking place in our heart. They see the outcome, right? But they don't know what was taking place internally. And so we have a testimony to share with them. And we have many different areas that we can give a testimony. So we're going to be sharing with other worlds, and they in turn are going to be sharing with us. And each other is going to be benefited and edified by what is shared. So their love for God is going to increase, and our love for God is going to increase. And this is going to be throughout eternity. You know, we learned that if in this Milky Way galaxy in which this world is in, if we are the only intelligent created life in this galaxy, then there could be other created intelligences on their own world in other galaxies. So how many galaxies are there? It's estimated that there's 2 trillion galaxies. It went from 200 million, and then when the bigger telescopes like Hubble came in, it was increased to 200 billion, and then it was increased to 2 trillion. Who knows if God's universe has edges? It may just go on. And that's something that we as human beings find almost impossible to believe. if we're faithful to the end, we'll be able to discover amazing things. Any thoughts, comments, insights, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
It's hard to get your mind around a billion, let alone a trillion. It's just a word at this point.
Well, you know, the Psalms talks about the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But I'm more and more understanding that God just didn't create the universe to be so vast so that scientists and human beings can recognize that there is a creator. But he created it so vast for a purpose. Not just to prove that there's a creator out there, but a purpose. And when you begin to add into the equation that there's other worlds of intelligent life, and God gave those other intelligent beings a choice to serve him or not serve him, and none of them chose to follow Lucifer's course. Every one of them chose to serve God. Then why would there be just one? Why would God stop just at creating one and then come to our world as his crowning act of creation? A crowning act means you have created, well, it means you have produced many things, but this is your last. It's your crowning act. It's just like an artist. An artist will paint many, many, many paintings, and then he decides he's going to have his crowning painted, the best one of them all, right? So it shows that there's many things that artist drew before he decided to do his crowning, his greatest work. So it's the same with God. And the more I think about it, the more I'm inclined to believe that there's perhaps millions of other inhabited worlds. Each one of them was created for a purpose. God stretched the heavens out and gave each of these inhabited worlds their own portion of space to dwell in. And they all give glory to God. But they don't understand the work of grace upon the heart because they never fell. That means every one of the redeemed could be you and me if we're faithful to the end. We have a testimony that other intelligent beings long to hear because they see the work of grace, but they never experienced it. So we have a testimony we can give about how God's grace worked within us. And every one of them want to hear it. They're all curious. But we have to begin giving this testimony on this earth to other human beings, so that we'll be accustomed to be able to give it throughout eternity. And it will never grow wearisome. It will never be a shame to give the same testimony millions of times, because we get to uplift the Savior every one of those million times. So it all comes down to a choice. When you're tempted to do wrong, will you flee to God in prayer? Will you resist the devil? And will you grab hold of the grace that God gives you and keep his law? And gain the victory through Christ Jesus. And dear ones, never forget, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, he took hold of you. He bound himself to you. And he's with you every step of the way. So when you overcome, he's right there, overcoming with you. When you're going through tough times, Jesus is right there going through those tough times with you. You're never alone if you have Christ. You may be all alone in that jail cell. You may be all alone in your family, the only one worshiping God or choosing to follow Christ. Doesn't matter. You are not alone, because Christ is right there, yoked with you, bound with you. And if you follow his lead, you'll gain the victory together. What a Savior. Any last thoughts or comments, dear ones? Next time, we'll pick it up at the paragraph that starts out, stand like Daniel. You can even say stand like the three companions of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Stand like they did, instead of bowing, right, to the image, stand firm. And don't go along with the crowd. So that's where we'll pick it up next time. And that looks like about halfway down on page 332. And who would like to offer closing prayer for us? Please go right ahead.
Thank you, Father in heaven. Thank you for these wonderful lessons. Thank you for these words that help us build character. And be with us the rest of this Sabbath. Be with our speaker as he goes into the next section. And help us be ready with our questions. And may we take the words of truth to our hearts. And thank you, dear Lord, for impressing us with the truth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So next time we will pick it up at the paragraph that starts out, stand like Daniel, and that's about halfway down on page 332 in Christ Object Lessons. And let us take a 12-minute break and then return back here at 10 after 12 Pacific or 10 after 2 Eastern time for our main church service. And like our dear sister reminded, it's question and answer time. So if you've written down your questions and have them somewhere stored, please grab them because your questions are important and we want to hear them. So we'll meet back here at 10 after 12 or 10 after 3 for our main church service.